الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له أشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد to proceed continuing with صفة الصلاة على ضوء ما ورد عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم a description of the prayer in accordance to what is authentically established from the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم we've reached القراءة what is to be recited and read in the prayer القراءة قال الشيخ العلامة محمد بن صالح العثيمين رحمه الله يقرأ البسملة بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Then the one who is praying he reads the basmala So this is after what? نعم After seeking refuge with Allah Azza wa Jal from the shaytan as we explained in detail in the previous lesson ثم يقرأ البسملة Then the one who is praying he recites The Basmala, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most merciful, the bestower of mercy. ثم يقرأ الفاتحة كاملة تامة على الوجه الذي نزلت عليه. Then he recites the whole of al-Fatiha completely على الوجه الذي نزلت عليه in the manner it was revealed. A meaning بحروفها وحركاتها وتشديداتها وسكوناتها بحيث لا يغير شيئا منها إماما كان أو منفردا أو مأموما He recites the whole of Surah Al-Fatiha completely in the manner it was revealed with its letters and likewise the correct vowels and the stress letters And also the letters which have a sukoon, he pronounces all of this correctly. بِحَيْثُ لَا يُغَيِّرُ شَيْئًا مِنْهَا His recitation is in such a manner that he does not change anything of it. He does not change anything of Al-Fatiha. Whether he is the imam, or praying alone, or someone who is being led in the prayer. Is that clear so far?
With the Bismillah, do you say it out loud or sung?
That which is correct, the brother he asked, with regards to Al-Basmala, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, is it to be recited silently or aloud? Obviously, for the silent prayers, I'm assuming the answer is clear, right? Naam. Likewise, for the loud prayers, Al-Basmala is recited sirran, is recited silently. Naam. And inshallah ta'ala, maybe at the end of the lesson, I'll read some of the words of the people of knowledge, which go into a bit more detail with regards to this matter. Naam. So Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, he said, فَإِنْ غَيَّرَ شَيْئًا مِنْهَا نَظَرْنَا If a person recites in a fashion where they actually change the pronunciation of Al-Fatiha, he said, نَظَرْنَا We analyze and we look at exactly what has been changed and the effects of this. And he said, إِنْ كَانَ يُحِيلَ الْمَعْنَى لَمْ تَصِحْ If the person's mispronunciation changes the meaning, then his recitation of Al-Fatiha is incorrect and not accepted. Highlighting for us what brothers and sisters, the importance of reciting Surah Al-Fatiha correctly. Because no doubt, some people, Their recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha is incorrect. Because their pronunciation changes the meaning in certain places of the surah. وَإِنْ كَانَ لَا يُحِيلَ الْمَعْنَى صَحَّتْ. If the mispronunciation does not change the meaning, then the Fatiha is valid and it is acceptable. Is that clear so far? Is that wadih? Na'am. The Shaykh gives an example. The Shaykh, he said, فَإِنْ غَيَّرَ شَيْئًا مِنْهَا نَظَرْنَا. The one who is reciting Al-Fatiha, if through his mispronunciation, he changes something from the way it was revealed, we look to the mispronunciation. He said, إِنْ كَانَ يُحِيلَ الْمَعْنَى لَمْ تَصِحْ. If the mispronunciation has changed, if the person's errors in recitation changes the meaning, the Shaykh, he said, لَمْ تَصِحْ, then his recitation of Al-Fatiha is incorrect and not accepted. He said, وَإِنْ كَانَ لَا يُحِيلَ الْمَعْنَى صَحَّتْ. His mispronunciation, he makes a mistake the way that he recites Al-Fatiha, but this mistake does not change the meaning. Then in this scenario, in this case, his Fatiha is valid, it is correct and accepted. Why? Because it did not change the meaning. Now the Shaykh, he will go on to give an example. He said, فَلَوْ قَالَ مَثَلًا. If somebody said, when reciting, somebody said when reciting, صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتُ عَلَيْهِمْ. What's the error there? Who can tell me? What's the error? صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتُ عَلَيْهِمْ. And why is it an error? أَنْعَمْتُ. What's the difference?
Well, I mean, it changed the whole meaning of what they're saying. I mean, I'm not really sure why, but I know that's not how it's recited.
Why? لماذا? أحسنت. If it is recited, صراط الذين أنعمت, أنعمت with a dhamma upon the ta, you're saying the path of those whom I have blessed. Look, changing the fatha to a dhamma, look how it changes the meaning. That is why, brothers and sisters, there's no haya. We may make an error, we may say it wrong. There's nothing wrong with sitting with somebody and saying, Akhi, can you listen to my recitation of Al-Fatiha? Or somebody, a sister who may, alhamdulillah, has knowledge of Qira'ah, sister, listen to my recitation of Al-Fatiha. There's no shyness in that. Many people, they're unfortunately not concerned with that, but concerned with everything else from everyone's, other people's affairs and business. Wallahu musta'an wa alayhi tuqa'an. Naam. So, Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen said, if somebody was to recite, صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم لم تصح لأنه إذا قال أنعمت عليهم يكون المنعم هو القاري. This is not accepted, it's not correct. Why? Because if a person said صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم, he is saying that the one who is giving the blessing is the reciter, the one who is reading himself. May Allah protect us from that. Whereas the correct recitation, صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ, the path of those whom you have blessed. يَكُونَ الْمُنْعِمْ هُوَ اللَّهِ. So when you recite it, أَنْعَمْتَ with a fatha upon the ta, na'am, then it means that the one who has bestowed the blessing is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is that clear, brothers and sisters? Na'am. Likewise, the ulama, they mention, if somebody omits letters from their recitation, and Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen said, when reciting, he said some people, they recite fast, like they're in a race, and they say, غَيْرِ مَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ. They omit the alif and the lam. And he said, that's not correct. Then the Shaykh, he said, وَإِن لَمْ يَتَغَيَّرِ الْمَعْنَى, فإن تعمده لا يجوز. He said if the meaning is not changed, if he does it deliberately, obviously it's not allowed. Somebody to recite it incorrectly, even though they don't change the meaning, is not allowed. لكن لا يبطل الفاتحة, but it doesn't nullify the فاتحة. He gives examples. لكن لا يبطل الفاتحة, and he gives examples where it doesn't nullify the فاتحة, even though it's recited incorrectly. الحمد لله رب العالمين. What's the error there, عبد الولي؟ الحمد لله رب العالمين. نعم, the فتحة upon what? The ba. It should be what? نعم, كسرة. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصواب, that which is correct, رب العالمين. So here, if a person recited it, الحمد لله رب العالمين. نعم. He's recited incorrectly, but again, we go back to what the Shaykh mentioned. نظرنا. We look. Did his mispronunciation change the meaning, Muhammad? لا, ما غير المعنى. It didn't change the meaning. So therefore, his recitation is what? صحت. His recitation of Al-Fatiha is correct, even though he erred in what is as-sawab. Is that clear to everyone? نعم. Then the Shaykh ibn al-Uthaymeen, he said, وَالْفَاتِحَةُ. Al-Fatiha is 7 verses. أولها, the beginning of Al-Fatiha, is the saying of Allah Azza wa Jal, أَلْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. All praise belongs to Allah, the Lord of the whole of the creation. وآخرها, and the end of Al-Fatiha, is غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. وَدَلِيلُ ذَلِكَ, the proof that the start of Al-Fatiha is الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, and the end is غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين, is the hadith narrated by Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه. أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, قال الله تعالى, Allah the Most High said. So therefore this hadith is what type of hadith? نعم, hadith قدسي. قال الله تعالى, Allah the Most High, he said, قسمت الصلاة بيني وبين عبد نصفين. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said, I have divided the prayer into two parts between myself and my servant. فإذا قال العبد, when the servant, he says, الحمد لله رب العالمين, all praise belongs to Allah. قال الله تعالى, Allah the Most High, he says, حمدني عبدي, my servant has praised me. With a qal, when the servant, he says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the most merciful, the bestower of mercy. Qala Allah Ta'ala, Allah the Most High, he says, Athna alayya abdi, my servant has extolled me. With a qal, and when the servant, he says, Maliki yawmi ddeen, the owner of the day of recompense. Qal, Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, Majjadani abdi, my servant has glorified me. وقال مرة فوض إلي عبدي. فإذا قال, when the servant, he says, إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين, you alone we worship and you alone we ask for help or aid. قال, Allah عز وجل, he says, هذا بيني وبين عبدي, this is between me and my servant. ولعبدي ما سأل, and my servant, he will have what he asked for. Allahu Akbar. فإذا قال, when the servant, he reads, الصراط المستقيم, the straight path, قال الله, Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, هذا لعبدي, this is for my servant, and for my servant, ولعبدي ما سأل, is that which he asked for. نعم. فتبين بهذا الحديث. So it is clear from this hadith, أَنَّ أَوَّلَ الْفَاتِحَةَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, that the beginning of Al-Fatiha is الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, all praise belongs to Allah, the Lord of the whole of the creation. وَلِهَذَا لَوْ أَسْقَتَ الْمُصَلِّيَ الْبَسْمَلَةَ متعمدا فصلاته صحيحة لأنها ليست من الفاتحة. And this is the opinion of Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah. وإلا في المسألة خلاف. And there is a difference of opinion with regards to the matter. Is al-basmala an ayah from Surah al-Fatiha? لكن الشيخ ابن عثيمين رحمه الله يرجح أنها ليست آية من سورة الفاتحة بل هي آية مستقلة كما سيأتي ذكره. الشيخ ابن عثيمين he holds the position that the basmala بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم is an ayah upon its own. نعم. And it is not an ayah from Surah al-Fatiha. That is the opinion of the Shaykh. وسيذكر and he will mention why later on. So the Shaykh, he said, so therefore, if the one praying deliberately omitted, he left out Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. نعم. If he left out Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim and started from Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen deliberately, his prayer would be correct. Why? لَأَنَّهَا لَيْسَتْ مِنَ الْفَاتِحَةِ Because, according to the position of the Shaykh, is that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is not an ayah from Surah Al-Fatiha. Has that clear to everyone? Why does he say that? He said, based upon the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, قال الله تعالى الله the Most High, he said, قسمت الصلاة بيني وبين عبدي نصفين. I've divided the prayer into two halves between myself and my servant. فإذا قال العبد, when the servant he says الحمد لله رب العالمين, so Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen uses this as a proof to say الفاتحة starts at الحمد لله رب العالمين. So then he said, والبسملة آية من كتاب الله. نعم, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And Ikhwan, who can tell me, I have a book, a hadiah for you if you get this answer right. عند علماء النحو, according to the scholars of النحو, this type of word, al-basmala, to mean Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, is known as what? If anyone gets the answer, عندي hadiah, like, I have a gift for you. علماء النحو, they refer to it as something like, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله, is known as what? Now, you see, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, they refer to it as al-basmala. And the verb is basmala yubasmilu. The ba, the sin and the meem is taken from Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. طيب? And they refer to it as al-basmala. Basmala means saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. What type of word is this known as? عند النحات, according to the scholars of the Arabic language. Anyone know? If not, then inshallah for the next lesson, بإذن الله. طيب. So Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, he said, والبسملة آية من كتاب الله. البسملة, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نعم, it is a verse from the book of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. ولكنها ليست آية من كل سورة. But it is not a verse from every surah. بل هي آية مستقلة يؤتى بها في ابتداء كل سورة سوى سورة براءة. Rather, it is a verse, an independent verse, that is read at the beginning of every surah, except for what surah? Without screaming out. Tafadhal. Ijlis ya akhana. Taha, ijlis. Naam, tafadhal. Surah At-Tawbah. But Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen said here, Surah Bara'ah. Tafadhal ya Yasir. Is it Surah At-Tawbah, Bara'ah? Naam. Surah Bara'ah, Surah At-Tawbah is the same surah. Why is it called Bara'ah? Who can tell me? لماذا? متوكل. أحسنت. بَرَاءَةٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. نعم. So it starts with Bara'ah. Why is it called At-Tawbah? Why is it called Surah At-Tawbah? Two names for the same surah. Anyone other than the Mu'allim al-Qur'an? تفضل شيخ مهاجر حسن ناصر. فإذا نضطر إلى المصطفى. تفضل.
لأن الله تاب على ثلاثة الذين
كل يعني أصبت نوعا ما. الشيخ ابن باز رحمه الله وقد أصاب المصطفى. الشيخ ابن باز يسير رحمه الله سميت كذلك بالتوبة لأن فيها التوبة. It's referred to as Surah At-Tawbah because in that surah you find mention of At-Tawbah. He gave one example, and inshallah that's the other homework. Where in Surah Al-Bara'ah or Surah At-Tawbah do we find At-Tawbah? فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ فِيهَا بَسْمَلَةً. In Surah Bara'ah or Surah At-Tawbah, na'am, as we said, two names for the same surah, there is no basmala. وَلَيْسَ لَهَا بَدَلْ خِلَافًا لِمَا يُوجَدْ فِي بَعْضِ الْمَصَاحِفِ. And there is nothing to replace the basmala as it pertains to Surah Al-Bara'ah in opposition to what we find written in some masahif. يُكْتَبُ عَلَى الْهَامِشْ عِنْدِ ابْتِدَاءِ بَرَاءَةِ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ النَّارِ وَكَيْدِ الْفُجَّارِ وَمِنْ غَضَبِ الْجَبَّارِ الْعِزَّةُ لِلَّهِ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen said, in some of the masahif, the mushafs, na'am, it is found instead of, in the margin, it is found instead of the basmala, because there's no Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim at the beginning of that surah, you find written in the margin, I seek refuge with Allah from the hellfire and from the plots of the wicked and from the anger of the compeller, Al-Jabbar, the Almighty. And power and might belongs to Allah and His Messenger and the believers. Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen said, هَذِي وَجَدْتُهَا مَكْتُوبَةً فِي بَعْضِ الْمَصَاحِفِ عَلَى هَامِشْ أَوَّلِ سُورَةِ بَرَاءَةٍ. He said, I found this myself written in some of the masahif in the margin at the beginning of Surah Bara'ah. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ دَالِكِ. هَذَا خَطَعَ. That's a clear error, mistake. لَيْسَ بِصَوَابِ. It is not correct. فَيَلَيْسَ فِيهَا بَسْمَلَةً. Surah Al-Bara'ah or Surah At-Tawbah, it does not have Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim at the beginning of the surah. لِمَاذَا. Why? Why? Why do we not find at the beginning of Surah At-Tawbah, Surah Al-Bara'ah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? خلاص. إذن, that's three questions for next week. Please, min fadlik, somebody write them down because la'alli ansaha. It's possible I will forget them. So Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen said, وَلَيْسَ فِيهَا شَيْءٍ بَدِيلَ عَنِ الْبَسْمَلَةِ. There is nothing likewise found at the beginning of Surah Al-Bara'ah to replace or to substitute the basmala. So that which is found in some of the masahif, what the Shaykh mentioned, أعوذ بالله من النار وكيد الفجار ومن غضب الجبار لا أصل له, has no origin, no basis in the Sharia. Then the Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen goes on to mention, وهي ركن فلا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ بفاتحة الكتاب. It is a pillar. Surah Al-Fatiha is a pillar of the prayer. Surah Al-Fatiha is a pillar of the prayer. فَلَا صَلَاةَ لِمَنْ لَمْ يَقْرَأْ بِفَاتِحَةِ الْكِتَابِ. There is no prayer for the one who does not recite the Fatiha of the book. Based upon the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَا صَلَاةَ لِمَنْ لَمْ يَقْرَأْ بِفَاتِحَةِ الْكِتَابِ. There is no prayer. And here, the ulama here, they say here, لَا نَافِيَ لِلْجِنْسِ. لَا صَلَاةَ أي, there is no prayer which is صَحِيحَة, correct, unless with the recitation of the Fatiha of the book. رواه البخاري ومسلم من حديث عبادة ابن الصامت رضي الله عنه. And الشيخ ابن عثيمين إخوان, he's going to mention a number of proofs and evidences here with regards to the recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha. لماذا? Why? Does anyone know why he speaks about it in some detail? نعم, because you have some of the scholars, they hold the position that it is not obligatory to recite Surah Al-Fatiha in the prayer. Likewise, other scholars from the fuqaha, they hold that it is obligatory to recite Al-Fatiha, na'am, in the silent prayers for the one who is praying behind the imam. However, the recitation of Al-Fatiha in the loud prayers is sufficient for the one who is being led. Is that clear to everyone? However, the position of a Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen is what? That no, that the person, whether you are praying as an individual or whether you are being led in the salah, you have to recite Surah Al-Fatiha and it's obligatory upon you. That is the position of a Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة
So let me repeat that, barakallahu feekum. Again, Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah, yadhkuru hadhi al-ahadith. He mentions these ahadith to establish his position with regards to what? Qira'at al-Fatiha ala al-Ma'moom. The recitation of al-Fatiha for the one who is being led in the prayer, the one who is praying behind the imam. Because some hold, as we say, some hold that it is not upon the one who is being led, he does not have to recite it. Others hold, na'am, that in the loud prayers, that the one who is being led in the loud prayers, behind the imam, if the imam has recited al-Fatiha aloud, then the one who is being led, he does not recite it. However, the position of a Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen is what? That even if you are being led in the prayer, even in the loud prayers, that the one who is being led, he still has to recite Surah al-Fatiha for himself. Is that clear to everyone? That's the position of a Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. And no doubt, ikhwan, the latter, as we said, the scholars, they differ with regards to the mas'ala. But we'll mention the position of a Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, inshaAllah, along with the proofs and the evidences that they rely upon. So the Shaykh, he mentioned the hadith, the first hadith here. The hadith, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَا صَلَاةَ لِمَنْ لَمْ يَقْرَأْ بِفَاتِحَةِ الْكِتَابِ. There is no prayer for the one who does not recite the Fatiha of the book. He said, likewise, وَلِمُسْلِمْ مِنْ حَدِيثِ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ. Also, Imam Muslim, he collects from the hadith narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu an, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَنْ صَلَّ صَلَاةً لَمْ يَقْرَأْ فِيهَا بِأُمِّ الْقُرْآنِ فَهِيَ خِدَاجٌ ثَلَاثًا غَيْرُ تَمَانٍ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever prays a prayer. And they say, look, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said here, a prayer, meaning any prayer. Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen said, وَلَوْ عَنْ عَطَاءَ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ. Who? It's referring to Imam Muslim. Imam Muslim, from Ata rahimahullah, who said, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he said, that Abu Huraira, he said, فِي كُلِّ الصَّلَاةِ يَقْرَأُ فَمَا أَسْمَعَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَسْمَعْنَاكُمْ وَمَا أَخْفَى مِنَّا أَخْفَيْنَا مِنْكُمْ. Abu Huraira, he said, radiallahu anhu, in every prayer, you should recite whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make us hear, we make you hear. And whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited silently, then we recite quietly. فَقَالَ لَهُ رَجُلَ. A man said, إِن لَمْ أَزِدْ عَلَى أُمِّ الْقُرْآنِ. A man said to him, what if I do not recite anything more than the mother of the Qur'an, meaning Surah Al-Fatiha? فقال, he responded, إِن زِدْتَ عَلَيْهَا فَوَ خَيْرٍ وَإِن تَهَيْتَ إِلَيْهَا أَزَّأَتْ عَنْكَ. He said, if you recite more than Al-Fatiha, then that is good. But if you suffice with Al-Fatiha, then it suffices you, it is enough. هَذَا نَعْمْ فِي صَحِي مُسْلِمْ. Likewise, Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen mentions, وَعَنْ عُبَادِ بْنِ الصَّامِتِ رضي الله عنه قال he said قال صلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الصبح فثقلت عليه القراءة فلما انصرف قال إني أراكم تقرؤون وراء إمامكم نعم صلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الصبح فثقلت عليه القراءة عباد بن الصامت he said the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم he led the Fajr prayer فثقلت عليه القراءة it became difficult for him to recite during the prayer due to interference of other people reciting along with him هذا هو المعنى فثقلت عليه القراءة reciting became difficult for him because other people they were reciting along with him فلما انصرف when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم when he finished he said إني أراكم تقرؤون وراء إمامكم he said I see that you recite behind your imam قال قلنا they said يا رسول الله إي والله they said oh messenger of Allah yes by Allah this is the case قال he said to them لا تفعلوا إلا بأم القرآن فإنه لا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ بها the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he said to them upon this he said do not do so meaning do not recite anything along with the imam except for the mother of the Quran meaning al-Fatiha for indeed there is no prayer for the one who does not recite al-Fatiha is that clear now and this is authentic wa fi riwayatin lahu in another narration hal taqra'una idha jahartu bil qira'ah in one narration it was said that the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked them do you recite when I recite aloud فقال بعضنا some of us said إنا نصنع ذلك yes we do this قال the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he said فلا do not do this وأنا أقول ما لي ينازعني القرآن and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he said do not do this he said why is it that I am being contended with when I am reciting the Quran فلا تقرأوا بشيء من القرآن إذا جهرت إلا بأم القرآن So therefore, do not recite anything from the Qur'an. Meaning when you're being led behind an imam. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, if I recite out loud, except for the mother of the book, meaning al-Fatiha. Is that clear the meaning? Also, وَرَوَى النَّسَائِي نَحْوَ الرِّوَايَ الثَّانِيَ لِأَبِي دَاوُدِ And likewise, وَرَوَى النَّسَائِي نَحْوَ الرِّوَايَ الثَّانِيَ لِأَبِي دَاوُدِ وَرَوَهُ الدَّارَ قُدْنِي وَقَالْ كُلُّهُمْ ثِقَاتِ Again, Ikhwan, as well, if one wants to read a nice discussion about this, Sheikh Muhammad Adam al-Ithiyobi, rahimahullah, in his Sharh al-Nasa'i, has a beautiful detailed explanation with regards to this issue. Al-Qira'a khalf al-Imam, reciting behind the Imam, reciting Surah al-Fatiha behind the Imam. Amma hadith Abu Hurairah, radiyallahu anhu. As for the hadith of Abu Hurairah, radiyallahu anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in sarafa min salatin, جهر فيها بالقراءة فقال هل قرأ معي أحد منكم آنفا فقال رجل نعم يا رسول الله قال إني أقول ما لي أنازع القرآن قال فانتهى الناس عن القراءة مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما جهر فيه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالقراءة من الصلوات حين سمعوا ذلك من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم then الشيخ ابن عثيمين said as for the hadith As for the hadith that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam finished the prayer, that he recited aloud in, فقال and he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked, did anyone recite and read along with me, meaning in the prayer when he was reciting aloud? فقال a man said, yes, O Messenger of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he said, why is it that I am being contended with when I am reciting the Quran? قال So at that point, the people, they stopped reciting along with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he would recite aloud in the prayers. When they heard this from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Shaykh ibn al-Taymi now is yuwaddih. Some people, they use this hadith to say that reciting al-Fatiha behind the imam when he is reciting out loud for the one who is being led in the prayers, abrogated due to this hadith and other hadith like it. So what does the Shaykh, how does he respond to that? He said, رواه أبو داود ومالك في الموطأ. This hadith is collected by Imam Abu Dawood in his Sunan and Imam Malik in Al-Muwatta. However, فَلَيْسَ نَاسِخًا لِحَدِيثْ عُبَادَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. This hadith does not abrogate the hadith of Ubadah. It does not abrogate the previous ahadith. Why? كَمَا زَعَمَهُ بَعْضُهُمْ. As some of them claim. The ulama, they have a principle, ikhwan. وَذَلِكَ لِإِمْكَانِ الْجَمْعِ. The ulama, they say there is a principle that they utilize. لَا يُصَارْ إِلَى الْقَوْلِ بِالنَّسْخِ إِلَّا مَعَ عَدَمْ إِمْكَانِ الْجَمْعِ بَيْنَ النَّسُوسِ. They say that you do not try and say that this hadith abrogates this hadith unless it is impossible to harmonize and understand the text in light of one another. I'll repeat that. لَا يُصَارُ إِلَى النَّسْخِ. You do not go to say that the text is abrogated and it's possible for you to understand the text in light of one another. مَعَمَادَ إِمْكَانِ الْجَمْعِ وَالْتَوْفِيقِ. You can harmonize between the text and understand them together. If you can understand two hadith together in light of one another, you don't say this abrogates that one. Why? Because you can understand them in light of one another. In reality, there's no contradiction. Is that clear to everyone? So remember that. First, they say, الْأَصْلُ عَدْمُ النَّسْخِ. The first thing is that the base rule that we do not say something is abrogated unless there is a need for it to be abrogated. Secondly, now sometimes it's clearly stated by one of the companions that this, for example, abrogates such and such. That's clear. And other ways that you know that something is mansukh. Likewise, secondly, لَا يُصَارْ إِلَى الْقَوْلِ بِالنَّسْخِ. You do not say that something is abrogated, the text is abrogated, when it's possible, مَعِنْ كَانِ الْجَمْعِ وَالْتَوْفِيقِ بَيْنَ النَّصَّيْنِ. When it's possible for you to understand and harmonize between the texts. Two hadith, for example, and you can understand them in light of one another. And in reality, some of the ulama, they said, in reality, if you were to analyze this hadith, you see that it's possible to understand the hadith in light of one another. There's no contradiction. And Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen says the same thing. He said, وَذَلِكَ لِإِمْكَانِ الْجَمْعِ بَيْنَهُمَا بِحَمْلِ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ عَلَى مَا سِوَى الْفَاتِحَةِ وَلَا نَسْخَ مَعَنْ كَانِ الْجَمْعِ كَمَا قَرَّرَهُ عُلَمَاءُ أُصُولِ الْحَدِيثِ وَالْفِقْهِ. Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen said, this hadith here does not abrogate the other ahadith about reciting al-Fatiha. Why? Because it's possible to harmonize between them and understand them in light of one another. How do we understand them in light of one another? We understand them, na'am, we explain them in light of one another by saying that the hadith is referring to anything other than al-Fatiha. Is that clear? So when it was said, فَانْتَهَى النَّاسِ عَنِ الْقِرَاءَ مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. The people, they stopped reciting with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam if he recited out loud in the prayers, meaning this was referring to everything with the exception of what? Al-Fatiha. So therefore, there is no abrogation of a text when it is possible to harmonize between them, as stated by the scholars of hadith and the scholars of jurisprudence, fiqh. Na'am. Is that clear to everyone? Jazakumullahu khayran. Na'am. Inshallah, we'll take the next two issues, ikhwan. وَيَقِفُ عِنْدَ آخِرِ كُلِّ آيَةٍ وَإِنْ تَعَلَّقَ بِهَا مَا بَعْدَهَا. Now the Shaykh goes on to explain the correct way to recite Al-Fatiha. The correct way to recite Al-Fatiha, the person is to stop at the end of each ayah, even if it is connected to that which came after it. وَيَقِفُ عِنْدَ آخِرِ كُلِّ آيَةٍ وَإِنْ تَعَلَّقَ بِهَا مَا بَعْدَهَا. And the Shaykh, he says, هَذَا عَلَى سَبِيلِ الْإِسْتِحْبَابِ لَا عَلَى سَبِيلِ الْوُجُوبِ. So, the person reciting Al-Fatiha, he stops after ماذا, every ayah, even if that which came previously is connected to that which comes after it. And the proof of that is what? What's the dalil for that, ikhwan? What is the dalil that, for what the Shaykh he mentioned here, لازم أن يكون هناك يعني شيء من الأدلة. أحسنت. نعم. Likewise, the proof of that is the generality of the verse. The saying of Allah Azza wa Jalla Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. Recite the Qur'an slow and in the correct fashion. Likewise, as the brother, he mentioned the hadith of Salama radiallahu anha, when she said, تقول يقرأ, he recited الحمد لله رب العالمين. Then he would stop. And then he would say, الرحمن الرحيم. Then he would stop. Then he would say, مالك يوم الدين. هكذا, and like this to the end of the surah, this is the way that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite. قراءة مفصلة يقرأ آية آية. He would recite verse by verse. So therefore it is upon the Muslim that he does his utmost to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when reciting the Qur'an, fil qira'ah, which in reality is implementation of the saying of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. Is that clear to everyone, Ikhwan? The Shaykh, he said next, and we'll stop with this. وَتَسْقُطُ الْفَاتِحَةِ عَنِ الْمَأْمُومِ إِذَا أَدْرَكَ الْإِمَامِ وَخَافَ فَوْتَ الرَّكْعَ إِنْ قَرَأَهَا مِثْلُ أَنْ يُدْرِكُهُ رَاكِعًا أَوْ قُبَيْلَ الرُّكُوعِ رَوَى الْبُخَارِي عَنْ أَبِي بَكْرٍ أنه انتى إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو راكع فركع قبل أن يصل إلى الصف فذكر ذلك للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال زادك الله حرصا ولا تعد. نعم. الفاتحة, الشيخ ابن عثيمين said, is lifted for the person, meaning the individual, this person is excused for not reciting it. What person? The one who is being led in the prayer, if he reaches the prayer with the imam, but he fears missing the rak'ah. Naam, he fears missing the rak'ah if he was to recite it. Meaning what? He comes to the salah and he finds the imam is in ruku' or he is on the verge of making ruku'. So the person comes to the prayer, he finds the imam is in the position of bowing or just about to bow. Therefore, in that situation, the Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen said, تَسْقُطِ الْفَاتِحَ لِلْمَأْمُومِ. If the one who is being led in the prayer does not recite al-Fatiha, but he catches the imam in a ruku', then what? He's caught the rak'ah. And recitation of al-Fatiha is lifted from him in that hal. Based upon the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Abu Bakr, Naam, he found the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in prayer, wa huwa raki'un. What waw is that? Waw al-hal. And the Prophet was in ruku', he was in the state of bowing, the position of bowing. Faraka'a qabla an yasir ila as-saf. Abu Bakr, he made ruku' before he reached the line, the row of the prayer. Is that clear? He made ruku' before he actually reached the room. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to him, may Allah increase you in zeal, wa la ta'ud. And some of the ulama say that it means, do not do it again, and some of them say that it means, do not repeat the rak'ah. Why? Because there are a hadith that mention, whoever catches the ruku', then verily he's caught what? The rak'ah. So somebody may say to us, what you say, that reciting al-Fatiha is wajib, based upon the hadith, la salata liman lam yaqra bi fatihati al-kitab. There's no prayer for the one who does not recite the Fatiha of the book. But you say that if somebody catches the salah behind the imam in ruku', they've caught the rak'ah. وَقَعْتُمْ أَنْتُمْ فِي التَّنَاقُدِ. You've fallen into contradictions. Yani, the response is sad. No, actually, there is an exception based upon the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet ﷺ clearly stated that the one who catches the prayer behind the imam in ruku', then verily he is called what? The rak'ah. From the words of the Prophet ﷺ. So that is an exception to what? The general rule of what? La salata liman lam yaqra bi fatihati al-kitab. Is that clear, Ikhwan? Now, with that, inshaAllah, we will stop. Jazakumullahu khayran wa barakallahu feekum. Any questions?